Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.
All right, folks, how are you? Glad you're tuned into the Big Red Bench on this Saturday evening. A lot to get through over the next hour. It has been an interesting week for Cork City FC, to say the very least. Interim boss John Cotter joined me in studio earlier on today.
And last night was for the club and the supporters, who came out in savage numbers, to be fair. And the relief, absolutely, at the end. And look, those emotions that were shown on the pitch were true reflections of the characters that we are.
We also get the reactions of Neil Horgan and Joe Gamble to John Caulfield's departure. And we hear very, very briefly on the man tipped for the job, Colin O'Brien, and whether or not he is interested. Also on the show tonight, we're going to talk to Aoife Fitzgerald as Cork prepare to face Galway tomorrow in the National League final. And we start our preview of Cork versus Tipperary. Getting the views of the tip camp. We'll be hearing from Liam Sheedy and Jason Ford a little bit later on in the show, and we'll have a big Cork preview on tomorrow evening show then as well. My name is Rory, here with you until 7 p.m. this evening. Thank you very much indeed for tuning our way. The latest JNLR results were out earlier in the week, and the listenership for the Big Red Bench continues to go from strength to strength. I thank you all very much indeed from the bottom of my heart for tuning in. Isn't that a nice way to start the show? Alright, also we are going to crack on with the roundup this afternoon of all everything that has happened today. And we'll start with the Premier League, and Bournemouth really beating Tottenham, nine-man Tottenham, by a goal to nil in the early kickoff today, including a debut for 19-year-old Irish goalkeeper Mark Travers, keeping a clean sheet on his debut. Mike Lawrence.
Bournemouth 1, Tottenham Hotspur 0. Tottenham's hopes of securing a Champions League spot for next season undone for today, at least, by two moments of madness either side of half time. Straight red cards shown to Sung Young Min, and then half time substitute Huan Forth. Bournemouth piled on the pressure, but it wasn't until injury time that the deadlock was finally broken. Nathan Ake heading home, Fraser's corner. Bournemouth 1, Tottenham Hotspur 0.
Samar Travers being handed a senior debut at 19 years of age, the Irishman says there wasn't really any time for nerves.
Just found out yesterday morning, the gaffer pulled me in, so surprisingly there wasn't too many. Surprised myself, but no, I felt comfortable out there and enjoyed every minute.
And he put off some cracking saves as well. West Ham beat Southampton today by 3-0. Guy Swindles.
West Ham 3, Southampton 0. So the Hammers' home games finish on a high. At times it didn't look as if that might happen. Southampton started both halves very well indeed. But in both halves, West Ham came into the game and then grabbed the goals that mattered. In the first half, Noble threading through for Arnautovic to finish. Arnautovic made it 2 with his second, nodding home from close range after good work by Masuaku. And then a lovely goal, the best of the lot. Fredericks and Wilshere combining before Fredericks smashed the ball home. Southampton a little bit unlucky, but it's West Ham 3, Southampton 0.
Elsewhere today, Wolves beating Fulham by a goal to nil. Shane Pinnington.
It's Wolves 1, Fulham 0, and Nuno Espirito Santo's men all but guarantee themselves 7th spot in the Premier League. One goal was enough to win the game for them. That came in the 76th minute. Doherty with a cross from the right-hand side, and Leandro Dandonca fired home from 12 yards out. Wolves have previously missed a whole host of opportunities. Jota had hit the bar with a stinging effort from the edge of the box, and Doherty had forced a really good save from Rico with a close-range header. It wasn't Fulham's day. They offered very little. It's finished Wolves 1, Fulham 0.
It's currently 1-1 between Cardiff City and Crystal Palace. 34 minutes on the clock. Wilfried Zaha opening the scoring for Crystal Palace. An own goal from Martin Kelly, restoring parity between the sides. The big game, though, tonight. Newcastle and Liverpool. A massive, massive game for the Reds, who know they have to win. They cannot slip up against the Magpies tonight if they have any chance of winning the Premier League title. 7:45, the kick-off time for that one. Reds boss Jurgen Klopp.
We are ambitious like hell, we want to, but we still know it's not 100% in our hands. But the only thing we can do is to beat Newcastle, and that's unbelievably difficult. That is our problem, not what other teams are doing on Monday night or whatever. That's not our problem.
Yeah, City not in action until Monday night as they host Leicester City at 8 p.m. But a big night ahead for Newcastle and Liverpool in that game. Should be a cracker this evening. Certainly full of drama and intensity anyway, and a lot of suspense and intrigue. And imagine a lot of Liverpool fans going to be watching that one while biting their nails, to be perfectly honest about it. All right, elsewhere, Celtic crowned champions of Scotland for the 8th season running. The boys beat Aberdeen 3-0 at Pittodrie today. Neil Lennon had some kind words for former Hoops boss Brendan Rodgers after the game.
You know, we needed the opening goal because Aberdeen had some good chances and had to rely on Scott, and then second half were outstanding, and the mentality of the team. And I have to pay tribute to Brendan. I think I've got to pay a huge amount of credit to him as well for this title success because of the foundations that he's built here, and I was lucky enough to carry it on. So you know, it's a great moment for me personally and my family.
One game in the SSE Electricity League Premier Division this evening. Leader Shamrock Rovers going to Sligo Rovers at the Showgrounds. That's at 7:45. Locally in the Munster Senior League, ECC beating Middleton 6-1. That result sees ECC return to the top of the table with two games to go. Local Gaelic games, the Intermediate Hurling Championship, Tracton playing Kildare. That is in Blarney today. And the latest score from there is, we'll get you that in a little bit, and elsewhere today. It's part of a doubleheader actually between Granada and the Pearse. Gahabullock playing Ballinhassig in Ovens. That one just underway at 7:30 in the same venue. Dripsy meeting Ballygarvan, and in the Intermediate Football Championship, Knocknagree facing Youghal in Ballincollig. That one is at 7 p.m. Elsewhere in ladies football, a great win today for the Cork under-16s, who've beaten Kerry in the Munster final in Castletown Roach this afternoon. 5-11 to 4-12 was how that finished. Congratulations indeed to the Rebels. A cracking win against the Kingdom this afternoon. Sad news for Corus Daunton. The former Mayo footballer suffered a double leg break today playing for AFL side the Greater Western Sydney Giants in the Premier Division. The four-time All-Ireland winner will undergo surgery in the coming days. Munster booked their place in the Pro 14 semi-final. A hard-fought win, an unconvincing win, some people might say, over Benetton at Thomond Park. 15-13 was the final score. JJ Hanrahan stepping up with a monster penalty from the halfway line. Incredible stuff. That was the difference. That was about 3 minutes before the end of the game. Incredible kick from JJ Hanrahan. Incredible composure. And fantastic wait for Hanrahan to step up. Kicked it right down the middle. And Munster maybe getting away with that one just a little bit. In the other quarter-final today, Ulster playing Connacht. It's Ulster leading by 8 points. That's Rory Best's game last game at Kingspan Stadium. Of course, he's retiring after the World Cup today. In the Ulster Bank League playoff, UCC beating Old Wesley 41-19 today. That means UCC remain in Division 1A. In snooker, and it's gone to a deciding frame between David Gilbert and John Higgins in the final session of the semi-final, 16 apiece. You could hear a pin drop at the Crucible Theatre at the moment, such as the level of suspense. Judd Trump resumes 14-10 up in Gary Wilson from 7:30. That's you up to date with pretty much everything that happened today. We are going to kick off the show with our interview with John Collar. It's been an interesting week for Cork City. Drawing a Finn Harps on Monday. Proves to be John Caulfield's last game in charge, as he parted ways with the company, or with the club, I should say, with the club on Wednesday morning. Cork City's most successful manager ever, 5.5 years in charge of the club, won 2 FA Cups and the league, that League Cup double in 2017. Colm and I did a podcast on it shortly after the news broke. That's available on redextra.ie and wherever you get your podcast from as well. But Cork City getting the new manager bounce last night. John Carter picking up all 3 points away to Bohemians as Cork City won by a goal to nil thanks to a Conor McCarthy header in the first half. And I was delighted to have Cork City's interim manager, John Carter, pop into me in studio earlier on today. Alright, we are joined in studio by Cork City interim boss John Carter. First off, John, congratulations on the result last night. It must have been a massive relief to get all 3 points.
Thanks, Rory. It was, look, it was a stressful week for everyone involved, for the club, supporters, players and staff. So, look, it was in a difficult week, it was a great end to it. And it was something that the whole club and everyone else deserved. And look, hopefully we can build on that now.
I can imagine that this time last week you would never thought that you would be the Cork City boss going up to Bohemians and getting the win.
No, absolutely not. Look, last week it was business as usual. That would have went on for the previous 5.5 years, but look, it's football, it's a business, it's a way of thing, and these circumstances aren't the circumstances I would have wanted to be in this position, but look, at times then you just have to go in and deal with it and get on with it, and we had no time to reflect on what went on, and we had to just get going for Friday, and luckily last night we were able to pull out a performance and get a brilliant 3 points.
So obviously the news broke on Wednesday morning. I mean, like, were you appointed or approached shortly after that, was it? Or
look, it was an ongoing thing from Wednesday on, to be honest, and as I say, look, we were planning to be off Wednesday, and the players were off Wednesday, so we weren't due to meet the players again until Thursday. So it was from Thursday we had our first session on the pitch, really, and as I say, we didn't have much time to plan, and I didn't have much time to plan, as you can imagine. And but look, as I say, you just have to pick yourself up and deal with it and get on with it, and I was more than happy to do that.
For John Caulfield to depart the club, I mean, like, he's a club legend, that status is guaranteed, but it's still sad to see John leave the club at the same time.
Oh, look, I wouldn't be in this position if it wasn't for John, to be honest. I wouldn't be in. John brought me in when he took the job 5.5 years ago, and I've John to thank for everything, to be honest. And as you say, he's a club legend. I know that term is thrown around a lot, but he's a true legend in not just Cork sport, but League of Ireland football in general. And look, I hope people don't forget what he's done, and to be fair, I know myself, I'll never forget what he's done for me or for the players. They won't forget it either. And look, John is still a great friend of mine and someone I will keep in contact with. And look, as I say, look, that term is thrown around a lot, but he is a true Cork sporting legend, to be fair.
And he'll be at Turner's Cross supporting you anyway, like, won't he?
He will, and you know what, if we're not doing, he'll probably try and come into the dressing room and let us know as well. So look, John is a great lad, great personality around the place, and look, as I say, look, I've no doubt everyone is thankful for what he has done, and I hope he knows how much we appreciate what he's done for everyone in the club.
Yeah, given, I suppose, the tough season you've had, I mean, like, it has been kind of intense off the field, I'd imagine. But you can almost see the relief on the players' faces last night. You can see the photographs of yourself and Benno and Healers that was put up on the social media. Last night's result meant a lot.
It did, absolutely. Look, we're all Cork lads, the three of us. You have Liam Carney as well, part of the staff, who's another Cork City legend, if you want, and he'd tell you that himself as well. So
repeatedly.
And look, we've other staff as well that have been there. You've Lisa Fallon, who's been there, Kevin Tatton. We've all been a part of it, and look, going forward for the foreseeable future, and they'll all be still a major part of what we're trying to do, and we need all these people to row in behind and drive it on. And I say last night, like, look, as I say, we're all Cork people, we're passionate about the club, passionate about League of Ireland. We want to do well, we want to improve, we want to succeed, obviously. And last night was for the club and the supporters, who came out in savage numbers, to be fair, and the relief absolutely at the end. And look, those emotions that were shown on the pitch were true reflections of the characters that we are, to be honest.
And a big crowd last night as well certainly helped, a very vocal Cork City crowd as well.
Oh, it was a brilliant crowd, absolutely. And look, I fully appreciate what the crowd have done since I've been in the club, and the role they've played has been massive, and hopefully they can continue to play that role, because I know I respond to it, the players respond to it, and look, the crowd should never underestimate the role they play.
Speaking of Benno and Healers, having them come in as coaches, two Irish internationals, two people who live and breathe the club, it must give everyone, I suppose, a tremendous boost.
Absolutely, and look, they're two people I know well too. Look, obviously I'd be from the same area as Colin in Ballincollig, and I know Colin a long time, and I know Benno a long time from when he was coming through from the under-18s, and look, as I said, they've Cork City in their blood. They care about the club, which is a major thing, and they've got a lot of experience, and look, you need people like that around you. You need that kind of staff that you can trust and that the players will respond to, and look, I've no doubt that they'll respond to these lads as well as the other staff like Liam and stuff that I mentioned earlier. And look, that's what you need. That's what you need. We need a staff that care for this club and have the club's heart. Do you know, the club in their heart, and that passion and pride and commitment that will hopefully bring us up the table.
I suppose squad wise as well, I mean, like, players don't become bad overnight, it's confidence and stuff like that, so I'd imagine a lot of your job is going to be getting the confidence back into players, saying, look, you are good enough, go and show us what you can do.
Absolutely. Look, I know these players inside out, and they'd know me inside out, to be fair, as well, and I'd always have a great relationship with them, and hopefully that will continue. But it is confidence plays a major part. That was last night. Last night was about a performance that was worthy of the Cork City jersey, to be honest, and that the supporters deserved. And I thought the players gave that, and hopefully they can go in, enjoy their weekend, and not too much to be fair, but enjoy a rest and spend time with their families, because they need that, because it's been a hectic schedule, mm-hmm. and then the last week was very stressful for everyone, so they need that break, time to switch off and come back in Monday, and that's when we'll really start to work going forward.
And tactically, will you be changing things up, or will you be just kind of like fine tuning things? Or
last night was obviously about a performance and getting the 3 points, and luckily we've done that and restoring confidence, but one win doesn't mean that's all restored as such, so look, we have to keep building on that, and I'd have my own ideas, absolutely, and I'd have always had my own ideas, and I'd have my own idea of which way the game should be played and which way we should play, and that has to be true to Cork City too, to be fair, because I think Cork City has always been passionate, high intensity, and we'll obviously try and get that back and implement that, and look, this might take a few weeks, but look, we would try to definitely try and put our own stamp on it, to be honest.
Are you seeing this as an audition to get the job full time?
I'm only after last night, I only joined last night, but look, I've no doubt my own ability of what I'd be capable of, my own knowledge, and I feel that I'm in a position now where I can show that, and I fully trust what I can do, and I know the players and my staff would as well, so look, I've no doubts of my ability and the staff that I've with me that we can improve and get up the table.
And crowd wise the crowds have dwindled, obviously, because the results hadn't been great this season, but going into Friday night now on the back of the win over Bohemians against UCD, hopefully a big crowd will come out. And
absolutely, and that's what I was referring to earlier, the crowd should never underestimate the role they play, because they've been absolutely unbelievable since I've come into the club, and before when I was at games, and crowd has been, Cork is always a great supporting city, to be fair, and hopefully Friday now we can get a big crowd out and drive the boys on, and hopefully build on the 3 points we got last night and get a win in front of our own supporters, which they deserve too, and put in a performance.
What was the reaction like of the squad when it was announced that you were the new gaffer, because the role of the assistant is obviously quite different from being the big boss, because you're a lot closer to the squad as assistant, so how has that kind of changed now over the last couple of days?
They were wondering what to call me, so
sir.
They might call me something different in a week or two, but my role will obviously change, but I still have a good relationship with the players. I think it's important that you're honest and open with the players, and that they know they can come to you about anything, which they could always have done over the last few years anyway, and that will never change. I highly respect all the players and staff included, and I'm there to help any of the players in anything they want, off the field, on the field, whatever. Like I'm there, my office is always open, my phone, they can ring me anytime, and I think that's important, that you have a relationship with the players, not just a working relationship. I feel that you have to have an affection towards the players. I care about the players and what they do, how they look after themselves, and look, I think it won't change too much. Obviously I might have to disappoint players from now and then, but as I say, once I'm honest and open with them, I think players will respect that.
Have the board given you an indication as to how long they expect you to be in the job as an interim boss, or is it kind of an ongoing week to week thing?
Look, it's an ongoing week to week thing, I would think, to be fair. Look, it's, as I say, the main thing at the moment, it's not about me, to be honest. It's about the club in general. It's about getting up the table, improving performances, getting results. And the performances will come once we get the results with confidence. And that's just, look, it's all about, always about the club. And that's the first thing, is about getting the club back to a position where it should be. And that's my main aim. And as I said earlier, I've no doubt in my ability that I can provide all that. And that's what I'll be looking to do, and as I said, Monday now is when we'll really start to put the plans in place.
And targeting a European place must be, I suppose, the priority, is it?
Well, the priority is to win against UCD next week, to be fair.
Spoken like a true manager already. You're getting to this like a duck to water.
Unreal, isn't it? Yeah. No, to be fair, look, that is, to be fair, look, targeting European, we just have to concentrate on next week. We're under no illusions. Last night was an unbelievable win, but we have to build on that, and we have to drive that on from next week, and everyone plays a part in that, not just me, it's the staff, it's the players, supporters, the club, and we have to drive that on, and hopefully in a few weeks time we might be looking still at improving more and pushing up that table, which I've no doubt we will.
You're now in the biggest job in the country, so any extra pressure, are you feeling the pressure? Is it too early?
Not this morning anyway. So
not after a win against Bowes, I suppose.
No, and look, last night was a proud moment for me, to be honest. I've worked hard over the last number of years in the club, and I know people in the club have respected that, and I wouldn't be in this position if they hadn't. And it just shows the hard work pays off. And obviously, you have to have the knowledge of the club and the league, and I have all that. And look, it's just hopefully now push forward and push on and get a positive feeling back around the club again.
Yeah, certainly so. Just before we finish up, your old side, Avondale United, in the Intermediate Cup next weekend, you'll be obviously wishing them the best of luck next Saturday.
Absolutely. Look, that's where I started my coaching, to be fair, down in Avondale, and John himself. That's where that's a club we'd have close relationship with. And look, yeah, absolutely. They have an unbelievable record in that competition, and it's a great competition to be in. And up in the Aviva for Avondale for the first time as well. And look, hopefully I'd have a lot of friends still involved with the club, in the committee, a couple of players on the playing staff that would have played when I was there, that I would have played with and managed. And look, absolutely, it'd been unbelievable if we could get 3 points next Friday, and then Saturday Avondale would go on to win that.
Fingers crossed. John, we wish you the very best luck in the job, buddy.
Thanks, Rory.
Yes, John Cotter there, Cork City's interim boss, taking over from John Caulfield, who was let go earlier in the week. Very best of luck to John Cotter in the role. You can hear the passion that he has for the club, and he seems eager to get going, get his feet under the table, and really start driving Cork City forward, getting them back under the table. It's been an interesting week. A few days, it's a half a week since John Caulfield was officially it was announced that he was gone from the club on Wednesday morning just before 9 a.m. by Cork City FC. I was a bit surprised personally by the decision. I thought that maybe John had earned the right to try and get Cork City out of the situation that they're in after 5.5 years. The other side of the coin is Cork City's results this season, even going into the end of last season, weren't good enough, and you can see why the decision has been taken. No wins in 8 games before last night, and Cork City at the wrong end of the table, so you can see why the decision was taken by the Cork City board. Can't have been an easy decision for them to have made. For more on that, we will be talking to Forest Chairman Declan Carey, who will be joining us tomorrow to discuss the background, I suppose, to everything that's been going on, the decision to appoint John Cotter as interim boss, and the search for the new manager. So that'll be on tomorrow evening show, 6 p.m, as we hear from Declan Carey to give us the view of the board. Alright, at half time it's Cardiff City 1, Crystal Palace 2. It's how it stands at the moment. Mishi Batshuayi getting Palace back in front after 39 minutes, and it's still at the deciding frame between John Higgins in the World Snooker Championship semi-final, the deciding frame between John Higgins and David Gilbert. But John Higgins just wrapping up here, so he is going to advance to tomorrow's final. 17-16 is how it's going to finish. Higgins just pulling the last couple of balls after a really frantic and nervy final frame. And he'll face the winner of Judd Trump and Gary Wilson. They resume in just over an hour's time, with Judd Trump leading by 14 frames to 10. All right, as the news broke on Wednesday, everyone's thoughts, I suppose, were who's going to get the job? Who is going to get the job? A number of names have been mentioned. We're going to hear from Joe Gamble and Neil Horgan very, very shortly. But one man whose name has been mentioned repeatedly is Colin O'Brien, who, of course, is with the Ireland under-17s, who drew 1-1 last night. But he was asked after the game if he'd have any interest in the Cork City job.
I know you're focused on this, but it's something you might be interested in the future.
I'm head coach of Republic under-17s, and all my focus is here this week with them.
Yeah, so that's Colin O'Brien's reaction to that. Not a yes, not a no. Completely focused on the under-17s. Another man whose name has been mentioned is Neil Fenn of Longford Town. A number of names in the hat as well. But we'll discuss that later on after we hear from Joe Gamble and from Neil Horgan. I'm going to hear from Joe Gamble first. I got his reaction following John Coughlin's departure on Wednesday morning. What was your reaction first off when you heard it?
I was quite, to be honest, look, I was shocked. I know, look, obviously Cork are going through a bad run of form, but you know, look, I suppose the history that John's had with the club and how successful they've been, I didn't think, you know, he'd be sacked halfway through the season. I know results, as I said, haven't been great, but I said, look, it's a bold move, and also it's unfortunate for John as well. Look, I mean, there's no, it's not nice to lose a job. Actually, you know, the coaching staff are very well, Eddie Hickey, Liam Carney, John Cotter, so
you know, it's a bad day for all of them, and you know, I suppose that's football.
Certainly is. There's no doubting John's legendary status at the club, though, and he'll always be remembered very, very fondly.
Oh, absolutely, and rightly so. I mean, look, when he took over, they weren't title contenders. They were mid-table, you know, weren't very, very, very strong. And since John took over, I mean, they had four second and one, and obviously won the league. So he turned the club into a top team and done an unbelievable job, and he should be remembered fondly because he did a great job, simple as that.
It's probably just modern football in a nutshell, isn't it, Joe? I mean, like, you have this manager, the most successful in manager's history, but then a run of poor results costs you your job.
Yeah, exactly. It is modern day football, and that's the business that it is. It's ruthless. There is no time for sentiment. There is no time for looking back and say, oh, you know, he did a great job. And it is a horrible part of the sport. It's just the way it is. I think, you know, John would be the first to say that as well. It's results driven. It's not about style of football. It's nice to play good football, obviously, and the fans want to play good football, but at the end of the day, it's winning and losing. And if you're not winning, then, you know, that's what happens. And that's what happened in this instance.
Finally, Joe, I suppose the big question is now who will take over. John Cotter is going to take over on an interim basis, I believe. His name is going to be in the hat. Hearing talks of Neil Fenn as well, maybe Colin Healy, a lot of former Cork City players' names out there. Who would you like to see take over?
Well, look, they're all good candidates. I know them all well. I think, look, you're going to have a few issues with some of those players you just mentioned, because I don't think they have a pro license, so that's the biggest stumbling block. To manage, obviously, in the Premier Division, in League of Ireland, you have to have a pro license. Even if you're on it, I think you only have 60 days. So I don't know if that's going to be acceptable. You're going to have a lot of candidates domestically and abroad. There's no doubt about it. The Cork City are going to see probably about 100 CVs looking for a job. It's without doubt the biggest club in the country. Again, I know you might be biased saying that, but it is biggest fan base, biggest club, you know, that I don't believe in the last few years. I suppose, look, if you look at domestically, you're definitely going to look probably Keith Long and Trevor Colley. They've done a great job at Bohemians, close to home. So you're looking at Alan Reynolds, has pro licenses at Waterford. You're probably looking at Paul Doolan, I'm sure. Look, I know he's been across the league when I was there, and he hasn't been really in the League of Ireland scene, but look, as a coach or manager, you're not going to get better in the league. So you're going to have a lot of people looking for a job, and it's going to be a great job for everyone to get it.
All right, Joe, we'll leave it there. Thanks very much for talking to us this morning.
Thanks, Rory. Take care, sir.
Yeah, that's former Cork City midfielder Joe Gamble speaking to me after it was announced that John Caulfield and Cork City had parted ways on Wednesday morning. Also got a chance to speak to another legend, Neil Horgan. Okay, joined on the line now by former Cork City player Neil Horgan. Neil, first off, your reaction when you heard the news this morning?
Yeah, Rory, I suppose it's a bit of shock. But on the other hand, you know, I suppose everyone is aware of the results weren't going in John's favour or in the club's favour, and they've just decided to part company, I suppose, really. And overall, I think, look, it's early days, it's just been announced this morning, but I mean, you can't but have admiration for John Caulfield. Like, and I'd say John, first and foremost, was always a fan of this club, you know, and I think John probably decided he could bring the club as far as he could, which was amazing things, you know, Champions League titles, FAI Cups, and records that, you know, in terms of league performance and FAI Cups that the club has never had before. And so he's leaving the club in a good place, and I imagine he just felt that, you know, both him and the club felt that it was the right time. And he's been there 5 years, I think, Rory, too, which is the longest spell of any Cork City manager. So, you know, apart from being the record appearances for the club and joint record goals, he's now the longest running manager with the best record as well in terms of titles. So he's certainly leaving the club in a good place from that point of view.
It just shows you as well how quickly things can turn around. I mean, like, they haven't finished lower than second since John arrived, but this season has been quite difficult for the club.
Yeah, I suppose timing is everything in football, really. You know, if this was John's first year, you know, he'd get the time, I felt, or his second year. And so, you know, in some ways he's a victim of his own success, in that, you know, he in his first year he finished second, and then his second year they finished second again, and then won the double, which the club has never done. Cork City FC, at least, has never done. So you could see, I suppose, expectations then, you know, were high, and are always high, don't get me wrong, but you know, when you suddenly come into a year and, you know, this club is third from bottom, and I suppose the game against Finn Harp said or night, I was at it myself, I just felt there was something missing from the performance. And I suppose John ultimately might take the decision that, look, he's taken these players, or, you know, there's a core lot of those players that were there for the 5 years. He's taken them maybe as far as he can take them, and if so, look, he's taken all of us and the players on a fantastic journey.
Yeah, he certainly has. I think Cork City fans owe him a huge debt of gratitude, and as you mentioned, like, he is going to be a Cork City legend.
Yeah, well, to be fair, he was already a Cork City legend before, yeah, exactly, yeah, before he took the job. You know, and like, I think that, again, just about timing, when he came in, obviously Tommy Dunne had done a very good job, and Stuart Ashton came in to kind of, you know, when we had a bit of difficulty there towards the last year, Tommy's reign, he just kind of settled the ship and we stayed up. And then, like, John came in and, you know, the club really got back to the heights that it had enjoyed when he was a player, and actually, you know, during the mid-noughties as well. And it really, the club needed that at that stage, because, you know, it had, you know, Forest had taken over. We come back to our Premier Division and, you know, questions of whether actually this was a new entity or it was the same club were just gone from the table. This was Cork City FC. This was Cork, you know, a team to be proud of, that we've all been proud of for years. And he's done that for the club, you know. If you forget about the titles and everything else that he's done, he's welded the club together, or back together, in a way that, you know, everyone's been talking about Cork City in a positive light for the last 4 years. And you know, it's easy to forget that, you know, maybe back 2008, 2009, you know, we were in real dire straits. And thanks to Forrest, and thanks to John Caulfield and the other managers, we're now in a great place, really, you know.
Big question is now, Neil, who comes in to replace him? It's obviously a lot more of an attractive job than it was when John took over initially 5 years ago. Is there any former Cork City players you'd like to see get the job?
Yeah, well, Neil Fenn has been raised as a potential candidate, and you could see why, you know. Fenny, as we call him, would be, you know, very football oriented. His style would certainly be something that would be attractive to fans, I think. And he has the pro license, and he's doing well with Longford. Colin O'Brien has been mentioned, but, you know, I think Colin's role, probably the timing is wrong for Colin at this point, with the European Championships on at the moment. And I'm sure there's plenty more. So I think there might be some people at the club at the moment already have pro licenses as well. So you can't rule out anybody. I'm sure that, you know, there might be, who knows what they'll do. There may be a period of time where they have an interim manager and then before deciding. But I suppose, you know, we'll wait and see on that. But in terms of John Caulfield, it, whilst it's sad in one sense that, you know, John is no longer a manager, you have to say, I mean, he can be massively proud of the work he's done for the club and for the city, you know. And you know, there are murals of John Caulfield on electricity boxes in Cork, and that's for a reason. He's really brought a pride back to the club, and he should be very proud of himself, you know.
Yeah, hear, hear. All right, Neil Horgan, thanks very much for talking to us this morning.
Yeah, it's Neil Horgan there speaking to us just after the news broke on Wednesday that John Caulfield and Cork City had parted ways. And a lot of names being mentioned are right for the job. It'll be very interesting to see who gets the job. And as I mentioned, John Cotter gets the chance now to audition for the job on a full-time basis. Not sure how that would work with the pro licence, though, because John is currently in the middle of doing his, but I'm sure there's probably a way around it. But Cork City back in action now against UCD on Friday night at Turner's Cross. So should get a big crowd out for that one. And don't forget, we'll have Forest Chairman Declan Carey on the show tomorrow to discuss everything that's happened this week and plans for the future. Stick with us up next. We're talking to Cork Ladies football boss Aoife Fitzgerald.
It's JNLR Radio Results time, and it's only good news for Cork's Red FM. Yep, we're in a league all of our own. And to celebrate, we're going to make your summer shine. We've got tickets to the biggest gigs in Cork this summer. That means you, front row, for Liam Gallagher, Tommy Tiernan, Walking on Cars, The Academic, The Coronas, Rod Stewart, Sigrid, and more. To win, simply stay listening to Cork's number one, Red FM. Rangers JNLR Ipsos MRBI Q1 2019. Missed the show? Grab the Big Red Bench podcast at redfm.ie. The Big Red Bench.
Thank you very much indeed for tuning into the Big Red Bench. And as you heard in that promo there, figures for Cork's at FM from the general are absolutely fantastic. Again, we are Cork's number one. Thank you to every single one of you for tuning in to Cork's at FM and indeed to the Big Red Bench. Our listener numbers are still fantastic, so thank you very, very much indeed. All right, we're going to talk Gaelic games now. Cork versus Galway in the Lidl Ladies Football National League final. Kieran's been chatting with Cork boss Aoife Fitzgerald about being back in the National League final after missing out last year.
Yeah, it is, I suppose. We've kind of got used to getting to finals, to be honest. But, yeah. I suppose it's been a bonus. First, really, we didn't start the league particularly well. You know, Galway beat us in our first round and we had a better result against Tipperary. But I think the Tipperary match was a turning point for us. We really kicked on from there, you know, and we didn't go back training, I suppose, really, until the latter stage of January. So, you know, it was a bit of a slow process for us. And we gave them Mourne because a bit of time off after their All-Ireland exertion. So, so all in all, things have been progressing well and we've been training very, very hard over the last number of weeks. So, and I think that's been reflected in our results. You know, after the very match, we had, you know, a comprehensive win over Mayo and Donegal. And then the two victories over Dublin, obviously, lift confidence for us. But I think the main aim of the league this year for us was to unearth new talent and to give the younger girls an opportunity to play and see if they could, you know, perform at this level. So from that point of view, we're delighted with the results.
Yeah, you've already met Galway, as you mentioned, in the first round up in Mallow. Disappointing finish that day. Galway were strong enough as well.
Yeah, they were, yeah. And I suppose they've surprised us a little bit in the sense that they've changed their game style in terms of they're being a lot more defensive now. You know, they get a lot of girls behind the ball when they drop off, you know, from particularly from opposition kickouts, they drop off and they might have 10 or 12 girls, so we'll have to be patient on Sunday. What they're very good at as well is breaking quickly, and they have a lot of pace, particularly on the half hour line, so they drop deep. And with Nicola Ward and their two wing forwards, Divoli, and you know, they're quite fast at breaking, so that's something we'll have to be to watch. But I think the key thing for us on Sunday is to be patient. And you know, when you're coming up against mass defences, you know, the last thing you want to be doing is turning over possession and then breaking quickly on you. So we've worked on it, so hopefully on Sunday we'll give a good account of ourselves.
Yeah, you've made three changes ahead of the game. Some of those enforced?
Well, Dearna Sullivan isn't available. She has a back problem, so she's out. And we've had a few niggas. We've had a bit of illness over the last while. So, you know, but the beauty of it for us now is that, you know, likewise last year, our panel was quite tight. We now have 30 girls who are vying for positions, and, you know, if somebody falls out, Anya Terry obviously is suspended at the moment, so she's not available as well. So, but that gives opportunities to other girls, and like, we're confident that the girls coming in will be, you know, will give a good account of themselves on Sunday.
Dearn is completely out. She's not on the bench.
No, Dearn won't be available. No.
She's out. You mentioned some new players coming. Well, not brand new players coming in, but is it good, or how important is it for them to get experience at that level in a final in Parnell Park?
Italy, yeah, well, you can't. I don't think you can be playing. And you know, when you look at the girls that we've brought in this year, you know, Laura Manny, Claire O'Shea, the Kylie girls, Sarah Lee, they've all worked very, very hard, and you know, and they've definitely shown that there's a future for them at this level. So that's been very pleasing for us. You know, we made a conscious decision kind of after the Ireland last year that we bring in the younger ones from last year's minors earlier, and we started the conditioning program with them earlier, and I think that's borne fruit. You know, they were back training, I suppose, 3 or 4 months in the gym prior to the other girls coming back, so they weren't coming in cold, because I think it's no longer the case where you can kind of transition from minor to senior seamlessly. You know, the game has got quite physical, and like, if you look at the Dublin as a standard, you know, they're very big, strong, athletic girls, so that's something. Our girls always have the football, but it's just getting to the level of fitness that you need to be at to compete. I think we're getting there, but it's a young squad, and you never know on any given day how things will go, particularly with young players. But we're delighted. They're playing with a lot of confidence. Like we give them a lot of freedom to play themselves. And I think some of the football they've been playing is that been absolutely magnificent. So, but the key thing for me is their work rate, their commitment and their determination. You know, that's been synonymous with Cork teams over the years, and I think this group certainly are showing that they're well capable. I suppose they're not as big physically as the Cork teams that were successful over the years, but certainly from a football point of view and a determination and all of that, we're certainly up there with the best of them.
Yeah, strong enough bench as well. Imre Scali, Saoirse Noonan, Rina Nibukula, they've all played their part in the league as well.
They have, and like Rona was away on her honeymoon for the last for the last while, and she's just back from a long-term injury. She had a cruciate problem. So, but they're all walking about the fitness, and that gives us a problem in terms of picking teams and that. But like, we're delighted with our progress. But the last thing we want to be doing is pushing girls too quickly, and you know, and they're getting injured again. So, so I suppose what we've done is we've placed trust in the panel. I mean, if you look at the team that played against Dublin, I think four of those girls were playing in their first semi-final. You know, we have three leaving girls playing, so it's quite a young team. Like, obviously we have the experience with the likes of Martina and, you know, Ashling Hutchins and Kira Sullivan, but like, generally the team is quite young. I think Niamh Cotter coming back this year has been a bonus to us as well. You know, but the strength and depth we have in our panel now is very pleasing, and you know, we can go to these games confident in the knowledge that, you know, if somebody gets injured or if they're not performing at the, you know, having a bad day, that we can bring on girls who are every bit as good, and that's very pleasing from our point of view.
Did the semi-final take it was a real enthralling game, really entertaining. Maybe not so entertaining for you on the sideline. I can imagine it was pretty mental. But like, the girls would have needed a lot of fitness that day, especially going to extra time, and the heat that was there. They're all okay from that, I imagine.
Yeah, they are. And you know, Olafin had been out. You know, we took her off, put her back on. She had been out. She'd been out with concussion for a few weeks. But I like to go back to was it nerve wracking? I didn't think it was. Even if we had lost the game, I would have been pleased with their performance in terms of their attitude, their application. I mean, the game could have gone either way, but you know, I was, you know, very proud of the way they performed, regardless of the results. But I think, you know, we showed a lot of composure, particularly in extra time. Like, we were 2 points down playing against the wind in the second half of extra time after playing. Like, it took an awful lot of character. Anything else to you know, to get over the line, but like, they slowed down, and I was with points as well, which was pleasing, and I thought we managed the last 5 or 6 minutes of the game very well. You know, we kept the ball for long periods, and you know, I think there was as much extra time as there was
injury time.
So
I think there was over 90 minutes. I think 93 minutes.
There was 93 minutes. I think, which is a long time for amateurs, and particularly the weather as it was, and the intensity of the game as well. You know, but I think it's a testament to both teams' fitness that, you know, it was a great spectacle. But I think what that does for us is it gives girls confidence going forward, and it's, you know, like people say, it's only the league, but there's only two national competitions you can win, and we're in one on Sunday, and we'll be giving it our best shot. But Galway have been, no doubt, have been the farm team in the league. You know, they're very well organised, as I said earlier. They have their own system, and they work to it, and it's, you know, it's up to us to break it down and match them. But I think we'll certainly match them for effort, and you know, I think Galway are blessed with very good footballers, they're real natural footballers. So I think it'll be quite a good game. It'll be an interesting battle, but you know, as I said, it's something we're looking forward to. And if if you had said after 3 or 4 rounds of the league that we'd be in a final, people might have said, "Well, geez, that's a bit of a stretch." But you know, the girls have worked hard, and we've got there now. So hopefully, we'll be able to give a performance on Sunday that will be good enough to bring the cup home.
Yeah, as you mentioned, that game taking place on Sunday, the Little National League Division 1 final at 4 o'clock in Parnell Park in Dublin. Galway making just one change. Leanne Cohen, I think, replacing Sarah Connolly or Keneally in the attack. Aoife, thanks very much for joining us on the Big
Bench.
And best luck Sunday.
Thanks.
Yeah, always great to hear from Aoife Fitzgerald on the show. Best of luck to the Rebels against Galway tomorrow. We will be there and we'll have a reaction on tomorrow evening's show. I often wondered where the name Aoife came from, because I've never heard of any other Aoife's. Cliona Foley did a fantastic piece with Aoife in the Irish Examiner today, and she found out his name is actually Ephraim, and he says, "My grandmother gave it to me," he groans. "I don't know, it's a biblical thing or something, a Jewish name apparently." And then Ephraim, a quick Google search reveals, was the founder of one of the 12 tribes of Israel. Every day is a school day. All right, we are going to continue with Gaelic games, and Cork and Tipperary going head to head next week. We'll hear from the Cork camp tomorrow and next Saturday as well. But we're going to hear the views from the Tipperary camp first. We're going to hear from Liam Sheedy, who's been speaking with Lauren ahead of the game with Cork next week.
Liam, 2 weeks out from championship. By the time that comes around, it'll be about 11 months since Tip have played a championship match.
Yeah, it's a long time, and hopefully it's worth waiting for. But yeah, look, in fairness, it comes around very, very quickly. You know, it feels like only yesterday we were together in November, getting ready for I suppose 2019, and then the league comes, and then all of a sudden, you know, you get knocked out, and you're back in championship preparation. So look, it's been a bit of a roller coaster, hugely enjoyable, and yeah, it's all systems going off for championship. I suppose the structure means that it's fairly full on for 6 weeks. So you know, I think that's what all these players live for, playing big matches. They got a chance to go back to their clubs and wind down for a week or two as well, so all that is good. So yeah, no, it's all geared towards championship. Yeah,
Tip in Cork, it has nearly a fairy tale element to it. It's a nice task to start off the championship with, I suppose.
Yeah, it is. It's daunting, to be fair. You know, Cork, I suppose, have Munster champions for the last 2 years, going for three in a row, and I think more impressively didn't lose a match in the Munster series last year, you know, which we've seen was just really, really, I suppose, frantic from start to finish. So yeah, it is daunting, but look, you know, that's what the Munster championship is. That's what it brings. You know, if you want to be competitive in this championship, you've got to play two games at home, you've got to go away and get on the road twice, and we find ourselves on the road first up against the reigning Munster champions. So you know, we will know exactly where we stand at 6 o'clock on the 12th of May, you know, and I suppose we all know that's what we signed up for. So it's something that we're looking forward to. We're under no illusions in terms of the size of the challenge, but you know, that's what you got to face up to. That's what the Munster championship ultimately is all about.
It's the first year that you've been involved with this format. It's the second year for this particular group. Is there any differences in preparation, I suppose, going forward into this year?
No, I think obviously the setup for us this year is much better in Tip. You know, we ended up playing 4 weeks in a row last year, which, you know, is a really, really tough place. So we find ourselves out the first 2 weeks and then we get a break. So, like, you know, I think the recovery piece will be a little bit easier to deal with for Tipperary in 2019. But to be honest with you, in this type of format, you don't really look beyond the first match. You know, all the preparation, you know, goes into the first match, and then you get ready for the second match, and then you get a chance to catch your breath. But, you know, obviously results dictate exactly where you're at. But look, you know, honestly, Lauren, we've left no stone unturned in terms of our preparation. We've got a hugely, hugely committed bunch that have trained extremely, extremely hard, and ultimately we feel that, you know, we've done everything we can to get ourselves in the best possible shape. Whether that's good enough or not, only time will tell, but certainly you know, we feel that we've put the work in, and now it's all about trying to bring that performance down into Cork and see where that takes us.
Between divisional and county championships, your players have had a pretty busy April. Has there been any injury worries?
No, thankfully we got through it, you know, and I think you know, they got back and they got to play two rounds with their clubs, and I think that's a good place to be. You know, it's nice to get the break, but I suppose, you know, I think they tried to make April club month, but ultimately, you know, the 12th of May is the first round of the championship. So that, you know, obviously we got 4 weeks, in fairness to the boards and the Tipperary clubs, that were very, very facilitating for us. So you know, we've got the 4 weeks since the club action to try and build up, and you really do need that. But yeah, I think the mix is good, and thankfully, as I said, you know, Paddy O'Brien and the medical team deserve great credit. You know, my squad is in good shape outside of Jerome Carl. There's nobody with, you know, an injury that looks like it's going to make them unavailable for the first round. So that's a good place to be, and Jerome should be back full training next week.
And finally, Liam, after a poor 2018, what's the benchmark for a successful year for Tipperary this year?
Well, I think the reality is we were outside the top three in Munster, and I suppose all of the five teams going in there want to be in there. And for us, like, the ambition is to try and squeeze ourselves into that top three, because I think that opens up the rest of the summer for you. It's where every team wants to be. But you know, I think you know, all of these matches are going to be, you know, one score games. I think the margin for error is very, very small, and I think it's just going to be hugely, hugely competitive. As I said, that's what we signed up for. We know exactly what's coming. I think it'll be hugely, hugely exciting. I think last year's probably whet the appetite with our fans and our supporters. So I suppose I'm looking forward to the county coming in behind us, and as I said, the Munster Championship being the fairy tale story that it was last year. And as I said, our aim is to try and squeeze into that top three where we weren't last year. It's not going to be easy, but you know, we're looking forward to that challenge.
Yeah, that's Liam Sheedy there, speaking ahead of the battle with Cork next week. Also going to hear from Tip's Jason Ford. He's also been in conversation with Lauren.
Jason, 2 weeks out from championship, it'll be about 11 months since you've actually played championship for Tipperary.
Yeah, it's mad. I was just saying there that to be out so early last year, You know, lads didn't really know what to do with themselves with all the free time that they had. I suppose we're probably back a small bit earlier this year with pre-season and things like that. So once you get back into it, it's nearly like you've never left. So preparation has been going well. You know, we've new obviously backroom team and new management this year, so that's kind of brought a bit of a freshness to the whole thing, and lads are just really looking forward to getting going now and getting into the matches.
Cork in the first round in Parky Cueve, there's probably no better way to start the Munster Championship.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like your traditional Munster Championship game, really, isn't it? You know, going on to Parky Cueve to play them, obviously not going to be an easy game, and you know, there'll be nothing in it like there has been over the last couple of years. You know, I don't see any game this year in the Munster Championship being any more than 3 or 4 points in it, so you're really, really going to have to bring your A game every day you go out.
Last year you had 4 games over 4 weeks. This year you've probably a nicer run of matches, given you've maybe 2 weeks off, I think, in the middle of it. Is that changing your preparation?
I don't know if it's going to change the preparation, to be honest. I suppose all the teams are trying, you know, get that bit of freshness into themselves at this time of the year. I think you've kind of all the hard slogging done and stuff like that, but the break probably will just kind of help with just recovery, and you know, if you do pick up a knock and things like that, that you'll be able to give yourself that bit more time to get right. But in terms of how you're going to play and the style and things like that, I don't think the extra 2 weeks is going to make that whole pile of difference in terms of that kind of thing.
Pretty busy April for Tipperary clubs. Is there any injury worries or any, I suppose, lack of freshness going to be as a result of that?
I don't think so. No, I think last year we probably had I think 1 or 2 extra games that came in, and then you're after getting to a league final as well, and then you're rolled into your 4 weeks on the trot in the Munster Championship. So it was probably harder to keep lads, you know, fresh, and you had injuries obviously came within that then as well. I think we ended up using something like 25 players last year in between the 4 games, which is a big turnover, really. So this year we only had, I think, 2 club games, and I think everyone more or less came through them kind of unscathed, so everyone will be just mad for road now.
Wasn't the most successful 2018, but you're after injecting a couple of those under 21 players, that must have even a boost to the squad, a bit of a freshness as well.
Definitely, yeah. Like every year, you're looking to add 1 or 2 new players to it. And luckily, this year we did get a good couple off that, winning under 21 team, and I suppose they've won at minor level as well. So they're kind of bringing that with them, and they bring that kind of enthusiasm and energy with them as well. So that's just added to the whole thing. And as I said, with new management and stuff, it's kind of like it's new to everybody, and it's that bit of freshness. So. Yeah, it's keeping lads on their toes, and it's keeping competition there, which is what you need.
Looking forward to the championship then. There's a couple of players that didn't feature throughout the league for injury worries or whatnot, and even from a rotational point of view, like in terms of free taking, that has been rotated quite a bit. I suppose, how does that affect your mindset going into the championship now? Perhaps you know more than me.
Yeah, I don't think it really affects your mindset. You know, that'll obviously ultimately be the management's decision who they want to entrust to that. But I suppose you're just kind of looking at getting your own performance right first, and then after that, then if they do ask you to take the frees, or if they have a certain role they want you to play, then you can kind of focus in on that maybe more in the days leading up to it and things like that. But I don't think it'll affect how we prepare for the game or anything like that.
Home games are going to be huge for Tipperary this year. You've Waterford and Limerick at home. Hopefully you would want a large attendance at those games to drive you over the line.
Definitely, yeah. You'd be looking for the Tip support to come out in big numbers and try and get behind the team. I suppose that's something we tried to do this year, is try to kind of connect with the supporters, and we've ran a couple of events even earlier on in the year, trying to just kind of link back into the clubs and into the communities where the players are from, and those have been very successful. So we'll be hoping that the county will kind of get behind the team now and really, really give it a good support for those games.
What's the aim for 2019? What will be a successful year for Tipperary?
A successful year, I suppose, without giving the cliche of not looking past the first game, like everyone says. Obviously, you'll be looking to get out of Munster. It will be the first game, and after that, then you don't know where it's going to take you. Like as you said, 2018 was such a disappointing year to go out so early. We really, really, really will be just focusing on the Munster Championship and trying to progress from there.
Perfect. Thanks very much.
Okay.
Cheers.
The Big Red Ben, Sean, Cork's FM. That's at Tipperary's Jason Ford ahead of next week's clash with Cork. You know, it's summer when you're talking about the Munster Senior Hurling Championship. Really looking forward to that getting underway next week. In the Premier League, it's Cardiff 1, Crystal Palace 2, 64 minutes on the clock there. And John Higgins indeed wrapping up that final frame. So he is now into the final of the World Snooker Championship. After that win over David Gilbert, he'll face the winner of Judd Trump and Gary Wilson. Trump 14-10 up, so Trump needs just 3 more frames tonight to book his place in the final. Alright, we heard from Conlon O'Brien very, very quickly earlier on today after talking about his interest or maybe lack thereof in the Cork City job, but he was in charge for the Ireland 17s last night as they were cruelly denied victory in their opening game as they finished Ireland 1 Greece 1 at Tala Stadium. Matt Everett had given Ireland the lead at Tala. Greece level it in the 5th minute of added time with a goal that had originally been flagged for offside. This is Conlon O'Brien speaking to the media afterwards.
So with the Ireland head coach Conlon O'Brien, Conlon, how do you assess that heartbreak in the 95th minute and what's your understanding of offside or not offside?
The rule is if the player deliberately makes an action of playing the ball, and if a player is in an offside position, then that player in the offside position is live in the play then, basically. So that's the rule. But I thought we were excellent for long periods tonight. I thought first 35 minutes, I thought we dominated the game, created a couple of good goal-scoring opportunities, defended our goal well when we needed to for a period of maybe 10-12 minutes in the first half, but I thought our play overall warranted a victory.
Yeah, just at the end, like, it's not the first time we've had to speak to a referee at the final whistle. What did he say to you? Because it looked to us as if the striker was about to play the ball that your defender cleared to the other Greek player who scored it.
That's what he said to me, that our defender deliberately played the ball, so he made that action, and that means that player is back in play then, that's in the offside position.
Is that a fair offside rule for you, or should it be, you know, there's debates about it all the time, but for us, I know we're Irish and we're biased, but like, the flag goes up, the striker's intending to play the ball, it's offside.
It's the rule. These things now with the officials, I don't think opinions matter now with this. I don't think there's even a debate to be had about it. It's a rule, and we just got to deal with that.
I know you spoke about the minute you had with the players after the Dutch game last year. What's the mood in there now? Because like, I'm sure they're all heartbroken, but they need to go again now for Monday.
No, they're okay. They're okay. They're steely lads. They know they put in a good performance. And we asked them that pre-game. We just spoke about doing their best, performing, and you know, competing. And I think they actually did a bit extra there tonight. And nobody's jumped out of the group, out of the blocks, should I say, from the game earlier. So it's all to play for. We're a great crowd here tonight. The players really, you know, appreciated that, and hopefully we'll get that type of crowd in Waterford on Monday, because we'll need it.
Yeah, I was very impressed listening to Conlon O'Brien speak after matches. I was very composed and calm, and you forgive him for being very angry after last night's game, but that wasn't the case. Is he on the list of potential Cork City managers to replace John Caulfield? We will ask Forest Chairman Declan Kerry that very question when he is on tomorrow evening's show from 6 p.m. but we are out of time for tonight. Thank you very much indeed for tuning our way. We are back tomorrow from 6. Stevie's up next with the Block Party. Our podcast will be online very, very shortly indeed, redfm.ie, if you missed any of the show, including the interview with Cork City interim boss John Cotter and Aoife Fitzgerald, head of Cork and Galway tomorrow. Reaction from that final as well coming up on tomorrow evening show. At Big Red Bench on Twitter is where to follow us online. Stevie's up next with the Block Party. Enjoy the rest of your bank holiday Saturday, folks, and I'll speak to you tomorrow at 6.
The Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m.